Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Author and political gerrymandering expert David Daly is a Massachusetts-based senior fellow at the nonprofit advocacy group Fair Vote. The former editor of Salon, Daly's journalism has appeared in The New Yorker, The Atlantic, Slate, The Washington Post, and New York Magazine. Daly really came to a national prominence a few years back, however, with a provocatively entitled book, Rat Effed, Why Your Vote Doesn't Count. Of late, Daly has been one of the few individuals to comb thoroughly through the recently released computer files of deceased Republican map-drawing consultant Thomas Hoffler. Daly joined me by phone earlier this week to discuss what he found in those files, to talk about North Carolina's latest efforts to curb gerrymandering, and his upcoming book, Unrigged: How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy. Well, Dave Daly, welcome to News and Views. So appreciative to have you with us.
Anytime, Rob.
You are obviously one of the national experts, have become one of the national experts on the issue of political gerrymandering. Can you remind our listeners a little bit sort of what's going on in this world of gerrymandering? We hear that term all the time, but it's both a national problem, an issue here in North Carolina as well.
Sure. Politicians have gerrymandered as long as we've had politicians in this country, right? You can trace gerrymandering back to Patrick Henry trying to screw James Madison out of a seat in the very first Congress. It gets its name from a Massachusetts governor back in 1812 trying to design state Senate districts around Boston more to his liking. What we've been living with and what North Carolina has been living with, especially this decade, is a gerrymandering revolution driven by technology, incredibly sophisticated mapping software, and just giant voluminous data sets that make it easier than ever to draw district lines that surgically sort voters with amazing precision and allow politicians to essentially dictate election outcomes for a decade based on these lines. So while we have always had gerrymandering, we're better at it now than we ever have been. The lines that we draw are more enduring and they last longer. And it has created a real crisis for representative democracy.
And so, yeah, in North Carolina, where we are clearly a deeply purple state, a state that's about roughly divided between Republicans and Democrats, and at least in their how they vote, we have had Republican supermajorities in our legislature, a 10-3 breakdown in our congressional delegation in favor of Republicans, pretty much mostly because of the way they drew the maps.
I think that's right. What we've seen this decade is that the maps have held firm even as voters have shifted. And that's one of the telltale signs of a gerrymander. When a majority of votes cannot be translated into a majority of seats, it means maybe it's time to take a look at those district lines. Democrats have, you know, on multiple times during this decade on these maps, have won more votes for both the state house as well as the statewide congressional vote. They've not only never been able to take control of the state legislature, but the 10-3 breakdown on the congressional maps has lasted essentially this entire decade. Democrats were able to maintain a 9-4 in 2012, but they have not won a single seat from the Republicans in 2012, 2014, 2016, or in 2018, even with a blue wave, even in years in which they've gotten more votes.
Right now, of course, we're in the midst of, once again, the courts have stepped in and said that North Carolina has partisan gerrymandering of its, at least of its state legislative districts. We're in the middle of a process. One of the things that's risen to the forefront in this debate are the so-called Hoffler files. Thomas Hoffler was a Republican Party operative. He was sort of known as the master of the modern gerrymander. A bunch of his computer files were turned over to the parties in some of the litigation by his daughter after he died. And you've been spending some time looking at them, right? Can you tell us a little bit about what you've learned?
I'm one of the only people in the country, I think, who's had a chance to take a look at them. I did a story in The New Yorker that kind of first broke the news of what's in there. Hoffler is really, in many ways, the man who designed the country we are living in. There are 59 million Americans across the country who live in a state where one or both of the legislative chambers are controlled by the party that won fewer votes in the 2018 election. North Carolina is one of those states. Democrats won more votes for both the state Senate and the state House in 2018 and Republicans control both chambers with big majorities. Hoffler, going back as far as the 1970s, is just this brilliant visionary Republican consultant who quickly understands the power of computers and data, even 45 years ago, and how it's going to transform the drawing of electoral maps in the country. He's able to kind of see around the corner at what is coming next at just about every step of the way. We redraw all these maps every 10 years at the same time that the census comes out in order to account for population changes. And Hoffler, just about every decade, had another strategy, another trick, another way to kind of embed Republican advantage into the maps. And most of what he did was perfectly legal. On the other hand, a lot of what he did was also unconstitutional. So in one way, he's taking advantage of the game. The party in power draws the maps. And if the party in power draws the maps with great precision, then they are able to reap the spoils of that. What has happened in North Carolina and in other states, and this is what we see in these files, is that Hoffler was using lots and lots of very specific data about race when he was drawing these lines. And that is really a no-can-do. The Supreme Court has said that, you know, partisan gerrymandering is a little fuzzy, but if you are drawing districts in a way that the effect is to dilute the voting power of racial minorities, that is not something that can be done. And what you see in these files are just study after study and table after table, breaking down racial data and population at a granular block level across North Carolina and across the country and all the other states where Hoffler was drawing maps, and Alabama, West Virginia, Texas, Virginia. I mean, Greensboro, North Carolina has, you know, one of the most iconic district lines in the country. When people talk about gerrymandering, they talk about the line that goes down the middle of North Carolina A&T University, the oldest historically black college in the nation, that puts actually 7 dorms on one side of the campus and 6 dorms on the other. As a result, this majority black city elects 2 white conservatives to Congress every 2 years. And Hoffler and the Republicans have long maintained that was just an accident. It's just, you know, it's a precinct line. The line has to go somewhere. When you look in Hoffler's files, he had precise information about every single voter on the North Carolina A&T campus. He had their race. He had the date that they registered to vote, the elections that they had took part in. This is going back to 2014. So North Carolina had installed a voter ID bill, a very strict one that said if you don't have a driver's license, you can't vote. Hoffler matched this list by race, then up against the driver's license bureau. So he knew which of these voters had the proper ID. And then this was all broken down by dorm. He knew all of this as he was drawing these lines. That's how surgical and precise he was. And that is what we learned looking through his files.
It's an amazing bit of research you've done. Folks should check out the article. It's entitled The Secret Files of the Master of Modern Republican Gerrymandering. It appeared recently in the New Yorker magazine. You can find it online. Be sure to check it out. We're now in the middle, Dave, of trying to fix gerrymandering in North Carolina. Our General Assembly has been about the business of redrawing the maps pursuant to a court order. And while I don't need you to go into the details of these maps, do you have any concerns about the fact that we've still got legislators doing this? The fact that maybe they're taking partisanship out of it, maybe, but they're still in there talking about things like incumbent protection and avoiding double bunking, so-called, of lawmakers?
I have a lot of concern about that. These districts and these district lines, that are the building blocks of our democracy, when they are warped by partisans for their own purposes, it warps the very nature of a democracy. They belong to us. They don't belong to these politicians. And they should not be able to draw their own lines and choose their own voters, which is essentially what they are doing. Now, these maps appear to be a little bit better, a little bit less biased than the ones that came in, according to the studies that I'm seeing that have kind of, you know, mathematically analyzed this. The House map is about half as biased as it was before, and the Senate map has been improved by 2/3. You know, both still have a slight Republican majority on these maps. But it shouldn't be this way at all. And perhaps one of the good things that's come out of this as well is that North Carolinians got to watch this process. They got to see just how seriously politicians take this, how reluctant they are to give up this power. And they got to watch in the open as these politicians tried to draw their own lines and as they stood over computers and said, I want this town and not this town and that neighborhood and not this one. And when voters and citizens see this, they get outraged. Politicians get away with gerrymandering because they think that voters find it too boring and that it just seems like it's math and it's maps and it puts you to sleep in civics class. But when you see how important it is, when you see the sausage being made, Democrats don't like it, Republicans don't like it, independents don't like it, because it doesn't serve anybody's good. It only helps these incumbents entrench themselves in office. Whenever there's been a vote on this around the country, whenever citizens have had the right to put this to a ballot initiative or a constitutional amendment in Florida, in Michigan, Colorado, Missouri, Utah, these aren't blue states or red states. They're largely really competitive states. You see majorities of 60 or 70% of voters who are opposed to this. If this is a partisan question, you don't get anywhere near that kind of agreement. Voters hate this. It's politicians who are clinging to it. When we see it, we fight hard to try to stop it.
Our time is really limited, but I do want to ask you one last question about a new book you have coming out. And if you'd give us a little brief preview of Unrigged, How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy. Sounds like a somewhat upbeat title. Can you give us a little preview?
Yeah, my mom can actually hear the title of this book as opposed to the last one, right? What I did was I traveled around the country for, much of 2017, 2018, kind of embedded with all of these democracy movements around the country that have been fighting for big structural change. So I was out, in Utah on the front lines of the Native American voting battles, out in Idaho as a millennials fought for Medicaid for all and put that to an initiative and won in a deeply red state, across Texas and Florida, and, kind of following all of these gerrymandering initiatives. And I think that there are a lot of people in the nation who really woke up after the 2016 election and realized that we have these big structural problems in our democracy that, get in the way of our voices being heard and fair representation. And it has taken form, in lots of different ways. But these kinds of structural reform issues are really the, crucial issues of our time. Until we get our elections fixed and our democracy back on track, we're not going to have progress on any of the issues we want to have progress on. So watching this, watching and getting out and working with and seeing the people who sort of, turned off cable news, got off of Twitter, and really got to work making serious structural change happen in their states was a pretty inspiring and exciting way to spend the year.
That's great. We look forward to reading it. Thank you so much for the fine work you're doing for our state, for our country. Keep it up, and we'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Coming up next, a look at how excessive court fines and fees in our state are quite literally criminalizing poverty. Please stay with us.